No, it's not been the most beautiful day weather-wise outside, but it's a blessing to have the cooler temperatures and fall-like conditions as well, and be enjoying that from a change of the hotter temperatures. We looking forward to and want to invite everybody. It's a whole congregational thing. Everybody's welcome to come Saturday night out to Keith and Debbie Ray's home. Cody and Sadie are going to be helping us in providing a bonfire and hayride with Keith and Debbie's help as well at their shop area, and so we look forward to that. And it starts about 4:30, and you see the other information in the bulletin, but we've done that several years at different places and always have a great time with that, and encourage you to try to make it out and enjoy the meal together and enjoy the hayride and be a good time. This week we've been looking at Titus and Philemon and Hebrews chapter 1 in his word. And so we'll do a lesson this evening from Hebrews chapter 1. Really going to jump off from that, thinking about Jesus Christ as our great spokesman and thinking about how awesome and how wonderful Jesus is. You know, I think we don't spend enough time considering the majesty and the awesome nature of Christ and God, and that we can sometimes tend to forget how wonderful God is. And in this lesson this evening, we want to think about how wonderful Christ is and how he serves as God's spokesman, a prophet like no other. In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer begins this book by saying, "Long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things." Christ is God spoken, which is how he has spoken to us today. Now, when you think about this term spokesman, Aaron was said in Exodus chapter 4 to be Aaron, to be Moses' spokesman. And then later on, he is referred to as Moses' prophet. That is, the term spokesman and prophet in the Old Testament, and even coming on forward, involves an interchangeable idea. To be a prophet was to be a spokesman for God, to tell forth the word of God. That's the basic idea of a prophet of God, was to speak the word of God. And so in times past, here in verse number 1, God has spoken to us by various prophets, by various other spokesmen. But in these last days, in this Christian age, he has spoken to us by his last great and holy prophet, Jesus. And so Jesus is called a prophet many times. In reality, Jesus is going to be the greatest prophet. He is the superb and superior prophet to all others. There is no other prophet that can compare to Jesus. I want you to notice how Christ is in three ways an awesome prophet or spokesman that is greater than all others. First of all, he is the predicted spokesman. He's the predicted spokesman. That is, the prophet who is spoken of by God through men. God is going to speak about him coming in the Old Testament. In John chapter 1, verse 45, we have the story of some of John the Baptist's disciples seeking and finding John. And in verse number 45, Philip found Nathanael and said, "We have found him." It's a term like someone who is out in the garden or the yard looking for a ring that had been lost. Something very precious, something very valuable that had been lost out in the yard when you've been doing working in the flower bed or working in the vegetable garden, and you lost something. And then the whole family goes out there and you start looking and you spend hours looking. I remember one time we lost a set of keys in the snow, and Joel Crowder's not here tonight, but Joel found those keys where we'd been over there, and that was a wonderful thing. I remember he called me and he said, "Josh, we found them." Well, that's the idea of this term. He's saying that we have found. We've been looking for him. We've been digging for him. We've been trying to find him. We have found the one of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He is the prophet who has been spoken about by God in the Old Testament. Now, when you think about the book of Matthew, and you realize that Matthew was written to a Jewish audience to prove to them that this is Jesus of whom the prophets had written about. Real quickly, I want to notice some of the many prophecies that were fulfilled and recorded as such in Matthew. Look at Matthew 1, 21 through 23. For she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And he refers to Isaiah 7, verse 14. So notice the term fulfill, which Matthew will use in these accounts to emphasize that this is what was fulfilling what was written by the prophet. Christ would be born of a virgin. Later on in chapter 5, verse 17, Christ would say, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." His mission, he says, was to fulfill what all the prophets had written about. He is the fulfillment of all these Old Testament prophecies about him. Later on in chapter 8, 16 through 17, we read that that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. His compassion for the hurting, the sick, for casting out the demons was a fulfillment of the prophecies that had been written about him. In fact, later on in chapter 13, Matthew would say about his teaching or his instruction in verses 34 through 35, "All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables, indeed he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parable and I will utter what has been hidden since the foundations of the world." Matthew said his teaching was from prophecy as well, or was a predicted prophecy. And then his coronation, his riding on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem on a colt, on a donkey with a colt tied with her. And if anyone says anything to you about this, say this, that the Lord needs them and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming to you." Humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Jesus came in on that triumphal entry, just as the prophets hundreds of years before had predicted. And then in chapter 27, 9 through 10, his betrayal is even predicted. His betrayal at the hand of Judas, and involving 30 pieces of silver. Look at verse 9. This was to fulfill, this fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying they took 30 pieces of silver. All of these things were written about him hundreds, yea, many centuries, Isaiah 800 years before. Think about America. We've been in existence 1776, we started, we say. I was born in 1976, so 242 years we've been around. Now, think about that, 242 years. And if you really want to go back to, say, when we discovered this area, you want to go back to the Columbus, 1492, that's still not getting us 800 years back, is it? Think about 800 years Isaiah was writing these things. These prophets were written centuries before Christ would fulfill them. You think about how they were things involving that Christ could not, many of them, do himself, but were done to him, or were done even in a supernatural manner, like the virgin birth, or like the issue of the 30 pieces of silver. He could not control that. And Judas choosing to betray him, and all the prophecies about Judas, or him being buried in a rich man's tomb, or being crucified between thieves, making his grave with the wicked. So you have all these prophecies. Now, when you think about Acts chapter 3, when Peter was preaching later on in Acts, it's interesting that the language he uses, verse 17 through 23, he will say this, "Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance and did this also to your rulers, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled." All these things was told by the prophets. Christ is the greatest prophet, the greatest spokesman. There's none like him. We should listen to him. He has spoken to us in these last days. And here's what's significant about that. God had spent the entire, many ways, Old Testament preparing for his coming, had listed many specific prophecies about his coming. And thus, we do not have to doubt, was Jesus really the Messiah? We can be confident that Christ was the predicted spokesman. He was the predicted prophet that you and I can listen to. There's a man named Philip Stoner who wrote a book called Science Speaks a few years ago. And I'm not a mathematician, but here's what he said in that book. And you can, if this is helpful for you, I hope it will be helpful. But he talked about the odds of one person fulfilling the predictive prophecies made about Jesus. In other words, and he just said, let's just think about the odds of someone 800 years later, and some of these, you know, 600 years according to when the prophet was written, but centuries later, one person fulfilling at least eight of these prophecies. Now, some scholars will say Christ, they will point to Christ fulfilling as many as 340 prophecies. Some of those are tough to maybe to identify exactly with, but Christ fulfilled well more than eight that are very clearly seen. We've already listed numerous ones here in Matthew just this evening. But he said it would be comparable. It would be comparable to taking the state of Texas and over the entire state of Texas, taking silver dollars and filling the state of Texas 3 foot high with silver dollars. So silver dollars 3 foot high, all right, this high of silver dollars over the entire state of Texas. And having someone mark one, just one of those silver dollars, marking one of those silver dollars and putting it somewhere in the state of Texas. And then asking another man who did not know where he had put that silver dollar, blindfolding him and asking him randomly to go out, start walking in the state of Texas, and bend over and select one of those silver dollars. The odds of him getting that one marked silver dollar are the same odds, mathematically, of someone 800 years later fulfilling only eight of these very specific prophecies that were given. It is truly remarkable, and it points to the supernatural means of the biblical inspiration that Christ was able to fulfill these prophecies. And it shows us that he is the predicted spokesman that God had long ago predicted. And it's one of the main reasons that so many Jewish people converted to Christ, because they read the book of Matthew and they see Matthew says, this is the one who fulfilled it. This is the one who fulfilled it. And Peter preached, this is the one who fulfilled it. And so they said, hey, this is the Messiah. But notice secondly, Jesus is a prophet like no other because he is God's spokesman to man. He is God's spokesman to man. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and following. For God spoke in past times to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. God has spoken to you today through his Son, Jesus. And the idea here is it is through an impersonal agency. That is, he has not spoken literally or directly to you, but he has used an agent to do that. He has not done this personally, but impersonally. That is, he has spoken to us through his Word, through the Holy Scriptures. He speaks to us now through his Word. And that's how we hear him. Notice, here in this passage, It extols the credentials of Jesus. Look at the credentials given here in Hebrews chapter 1. First of all, it says about Jesus that he is the creator. In other words, we should listen to him because he is the creator. You know, whenever you're going to go speak, hear someone speak, you want to know, who is this person? What is his credentials? If you're in your work and they're going to have a conference, they're going to say, hey, we're going to have this conference and we're going to have this big speaker come and talk to you. And you want to know, who is this speaker? What is his credentials? What right does he have to speak to us? And what right do I have to give him 45 minutes of my time to listen to him? We want to know credentials. Well, God says, I've spoken to you through Jesus. Let me tell you his credentials. Let me tell you why you should listen to this speaker. Because he's the creator. He is the creator of all things. You know, back in the book of Genesis, we have that record of the creation of the world. We need to remember that in the New Testament, it describes Christ as the agent, as the means of that creation. Here in verse number 2, it says that he created the world. He spoke in Genesis light into existence. He formed the firmament, the heavens, the waters. He created all the animal life and the plant life and all these various things from the each days of his work. He is the creator. Now in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible says that in him all things are held together. All things are held together by him. I don't know if this is helpful, but I hope it will be. I'm not saying this literally, but I think it's spiritually the truth. That is, if you think about this marvelous, huge planet, Earth, and you think about the sun that we're revolving around, and the moon that revolves around us, and how all these things are working, how we're spinning on our axis and tilted at just the proper angle, and we continue to tilt back and forth on that axis as we spin around our sun. All these things, if you will, are held together by God or by Christ, his hand. God is the one, Christ is the one who holds all this together. You might picture in your mind as you've seen the picture of and the models of the earth going around the sun and all of our solar system. Picture the hand of Christ holding the earth up in space. Now you may say, well, Josh, don't you understand about gravity and all these kinds of masses and things? Who created gravity and who created the miracle that is this astrophysics and how all this works so perfectly to give us life on earth? Christ holds it all together. You know, I know that we can have concerns, and we certainly need to be good stewards of our environment. But we can trust that this world is going to be the way God wants it to be. It's going to be held together by Christ until he determines that it's time for the end of the world. He is the creator. He is the creator. But notice, he is also someone who has a character. In other words, you can listen to him, not only because he created you, but you can listen to him because he is good. He is the character of God. It says he is the exact imprint of his nature. Now this reminds us of what our U.S. government does at the Mint. Every time they're going to make a coin, they have some type of an impression that they will stamp, they will mint that upon some precious metal. And that quarter, that nickel, that dime, that penny comes off and it's shining and it has the exact imprint of that mold that they're using. And so if they're making a quarter with a various state quarter on it and it's got that image and the symbol of that state, they have that mold in there and they stamp that on that precious metal. And then it comes off as the exact imprint of that stamp. Well, God is His character, and God has stamped. Christ is the exact reflection of God the Father. It's like He said, when you see Him, you see God. He is the Word who has become flesh, John chapter 1, and dwelt among us, and we have beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Father. When you see Jesus, you see God. You ought to listen to Jesus because of His character. He is good. He is God. He is the exact imprint of God. But notice, you ought to listen to Jesus because of His care. After He's the exact imprint of His nature, but He upholds the universe by His word of His power. That's referring to what I was talking about earlier with Him being the Creator. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. Notice, He has cared for us in that He upholds all things by the word of His power. He holds the world together. And what I want to say by that, we've already talked about how He has created the world, but He cares about what's going on in your world. Listen to Him, because He can hold your life together when everything is falling apart. Listen to Him because He cares for what you're dealing with and what's going on within your life. He upholds the universe together by His word. But notice also His compassion. For after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He not only cares for us, but He had compassion for us in that He died for us. He made purification for sins. He made a way for us to be saved. We ought to listen to Him because He can purify us. He can save us. And then finally, it says here, we ought to listen to Him because of His confirmation. That is, having sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, He was exalted to the right hand of God. He was declared King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the King, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. We ought to listen to Him because He is the King. He has been exalted to the right hand of God. You know, I think about, you can learn, look at many passages, but I think about Matthew chapter 17, verse number 5. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, the disciples have just witnessed, Peter, James, and John have just witnessed the transfiguration. And after that, Peter said, Lord, it's good, in verse number 4, it's good that we're here. Let's make three tents, three altars or tabernacles, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You know, Jesus, it's great that we've been here. We've seen this transfiguration. You had this meeting up on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. And I tell you what, let's make a memorial stone. Let's make an altar. Let's make a tent, a tabernacle. Let's make one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we'll make one for You. Because all three of you men are great. And you remember what happened? While Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud, that is the voice of the Heavenly Father, said, This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. Don't make three tabernacles. Don't make one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. Because that's putting Moses and Elijah on equal plane with Jesus. You make one in your mind. Only focus on listening to Jesus. This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. You know, we live in a world today that has all kinds of voices in our heads. All kinds of people, from the morning talk shows to Dr. Phil in the afternoon to all the latest self-help books to the internet. You know, anytime you got a question, just Google it. Just ask. We got all these things. We can find out all this information. We've got family and friends who are wanting to tell us things. We've got all this, you know, all these things. Sometimes we need to come back and ask ourselves, who do I need to listen to? The number one person you need to listen to is Jesus. When it comes to matters of God, you listen to Jesus. He is God's spokesman to man. He has spoken to us through His Word. We don't need to build up other tabernacles and have our little Moses and have our Elijah that we want to listen to too. We need to hear God say, "This is my beloved Son." He is the Creator. He is the character of me. He has a care for you. He has died for you in His compassion. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why would you listen to anyone else besides Jesus? But then, thirdly and last, we'll say that God, or Jesus, is the perfect spokesman and the greatest spokesman because He is man's spokesman to God. So He speaks to us from God, but guess what? This is wonderful. He also speaks to God for us. He also speaks to God for us. Look to 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John, the Bible talks about this speaking of God, of Christ, to God. And we'll come back to Hebrews. And look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. He has delivered us from sin. He has cleansed us from sin. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We've got to be humble. We've got to admit we've sinned, that we need His cleansing power. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can cleanse us. We say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Chapter 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But listen to this. If anyone does sin, and he knows that we will, he's already said that in chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. He says this, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Notice the key word here is that He is our advocate. He takes our case. He takes our case to God. Literally, this involves the idea of in front of. Here is God on the throne. Here is Christ at the right hand, seated at the right hand. And the word picture is Christ gets up and He goes before the throne of God and He takes our case face to face to the Father. He says to God, they are cleansed by my blood. We have cleansing through His blood, verse 7, as we're walking in the light. Notice also in this idea that there must be a determination on our part. There is deliverance from sin, but there is a determination to walk in the light as He is our advocate. Now, when you go back to the book of Hebrews, you're going to see really what this advocate means, this idea of Him being our lawyer, our high priest. Look to chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, He had to be made like His brothers in every respect. He had to come to this earth and be made like you and I so that He might become, listen to this, a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because He Himself has suffered, when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. He gets up from the throne of the right hand of God. He goes face to face to God. He makes our case before God. He says, God, I know what it's like to be Josh. God, I know what it's like to be her. I know what it's like to be tempted. I know what it's like when Satan is getting after you and making you feel like you have to turn to this physical desire. He says, I know what it's like because he in every respect had been made like his brothers so that he could be a faithful and merciful. Well, don't you want mercy? He can understand. He can have mercy and have make a propitiation for our sins. He suffered when he was tempted. When you're suffering because you're being tempted, Jesus can understand. He is able to then help those who are being tempted. You have an advocate who speaks to God and helps you. There's no other spokesman on this earth. There's no other spokesman in any of the religious world that can come close to taking your sins, your temptations, and going face to face with God and being merciful and faithful high priest between you and God. But notice later on in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16, it says this, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let's not quit the faith. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You don't have to worry. Is God going to give me mercy? Can I find help? Are my petitions too petty? Does God really love me? Does God really care about me? Is anybody listening? Because you have a high priest who is tempted in every way. And I think if we look at the life of Christ, all of us would say, if we're honest, that we have not endured near what Christ endured. So we can say that he suffered and bore the weight of Satan's temptation far more than any of us could claim to have done. And it says he sympathizes with us and he will help us and we can find mercy in our times of need. Isn't that encouraging? That you can find mercy and you can find grace because you have an advocate who's at the throne of God. But then look to chapter 9, verses 22 through 24. He also says that he is there as our advocate. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly thing to be purified with these rites, talking about the Old Testament and the sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, talking about the temple, which are copies of the true things, but he has gone into heaven itself. Now listen to this. This is incredible. Now to appear in the presence of God. Why is he in the presence of God? On our behalf. He's there on our behalf. He is taking, in the Old Testament image, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest went in and took that blood before the altar and offered it there for the sins of the people. Christ has gone in and has taken his own blood and he is offering it there for us. He's in the presence of God, purifying our sins. You have an advocate. Whenever Satan, who is said in Revelation chapter 12 that he is the accuser of our brethren, Satan is wanting to accuse us. Satan is saying, oh, there's Josh. Look at what he did today. Let me accuse him before the throne of God. And when he brings up my name, and God has Christ saying, don't believe him. I am his advocate. He's walking in the light. He is cleansed. My blood purifies him. Let's give him aid. Let's give him help. Let's have mercy upon him. We have an advocate between us and God. He is God's spokesman, Jesus Christ. And he is man's spokesman to God. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. And so we turn back to Hebrews chapter 1, where we started this lesson. And you realize now how significant it is that the Hebrew writer begins this great book by saying, long ago, and at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But those are all lesser. They're lesser. You see, we might want to think, well, the patriarchal age, they had it great. God spoke right to Abraham. But they're lesser ways. That's not as great as what you and I have. He spoke to Isaiah and Jeremiah, but those were different ways, but they're lesser. But now in these last days, we have the greatest, we have the best. He has spoken to us by whom? By His Son. We got the best. We got the best. There is no other prophet. There is no other spokesman like Jesus Christ. He is the predicted spokesman. He is God's spokesman to man, and He is man's spokesman to God. What a wonderful thing we get to serve and be a part of Jesus Christ. This evening, if you're not a child of God, then please consider making Christ